Now, this guy is not normally one of our Patriots Friday regulars, but we are delighted to be able to welcome to the studios Patriots defensive lineman Jarvis Green. Jarvis, good to see you.
What's up, guys? What's going on this morning?
What's going on this morning? Just trying to make sense of what we saw last night. Do you, after you play a game like that, do you stay up for hours just replaying the game in your mind?
Oh, not really. I mean, it was a tough game, tough loss, and especially to the Jets. And I remember going to bed. I went to bed about 4 o'clock this morning, woke up at 7, get the day started, and the entire time watching it on TV and just we was that close, you know, that close. And I mean, we played. It was like we lost something, or we just got out, you know, manhandled. Man, it was overtime game, but it happens.
You said you went to bed at 4, so you were doing something.
Yeah. Well, I had some family in town since I got my event coming up. I know we're gonna talk about that later, yep. Talking to my brother, man, just watching the game, you know, and I remember watching Brett Favre. I was over there in Patriot Place watching him talk about the game and over again, and just cycling in my head, just, man, it should have been our win.
Do you do the same thing fans do? Do you harp on one play in your mind? For me, it was 3rd and 15, which I go over and over and over, and that's the play that kills me all night.
Yes, I mean, hey, we all human, man. I used to be a fan. You know, at one time also, I mean, I'm playing the game now, but 3rd and 15, that was a huge play. That's going to be on everybody's mind, you know, the next few days. But I know we got to move on. You know, we got the Dolphins going down to Miami, and it's not going to get any easier.
Now, in that 3rd and 15 play, I understand, Jarvis, you're not a defensive back, but what happened there? Was that just a great play by Favre, or was that a blown coverage by the Patriots?
I mean, I really don't know what happened. I mean, Favre threw the ball, you know, with the catch. I mean, went to the tight end.
Right.
I mean, he threw the ball. That was a great play for them, you know, bad play for us. Like Coach always talks about in Coach A, third down, have to get off the field. And that was something big that that we didn't, you know, do our best at last night.
They kind of sprinted out to a lead. They were up 24-6. You guys seemed to make some adjustments in the second half because you held them to the one touchdown. What did you guys do differently in the second half?
I mean, we played harder, man. We started making plays. Because I know in the first half, and they was getting those third downs, those long drives. And I think, you know, going to the second half, we were getting some three and outs, and we were just making those key plays to get off the field and get the offense back on the field. I know with the defensive side, but I know, hey, 60-minute game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get overtime in it. You got to put that in the equation of last night. And we just have to play better.
Now, how are you doing? I know you've had some physical issues this season. Mm-hmm. Where would you rate yourself at this point?
I mean, from 1 to 10, being healthy, 10 being the healthiest. I mean, right now, I feel 6-7. It was tough, I know, with my injury. But, hey, you got to keep playing football, and we got to tape them up and do what you got to do to get back on the field. Because I think, like Coach talks about also, durability is more important than ability. You know, so just to be out there, be in practice, getting the reps, and just being with those guys on the field, that's what's really important.
Is there anybody who's a 10 in the NFL at this stage of the season?
Oh, no. I think you beat 10 when you come in the preseason. That's when you're 10.
The off-season program right. When you're at 10.
Yep.
Or 10, you know, probably not playing football, avoiding every kind of hit.
Yes,
and
I know, huh?
Running out of bounds and doing all kinds of stuff. Now, now that you've been through it, we were asking guys before it happened, how are you going to play a game on Sunday and play a game on Thursday? What kind of preparation do you go through for that? I'll ask you, now that you've done it Sunday and Thursday, mm-hmm. Where are you physically? I mean, how does it feel?
You know, after the game, Sunday, we beat Buffalo. And then that Monday, it was a regular Monday. We came in 12:30. We're doing the day, lifting weights, watching film. Got Tuesday off, right? Tuesday off? No. Let me go back. I'm so sorry. Shark Week.
Okay.
We practiced Tuesday.
Yep.
And Tuesday was more of just a mental day. We didn't put any pads on, and it was out there for probably about an hour and a half, going through reps. And that was it. And then Wednesday was the same thing, more like a Saturday practice, no pads on. We did our walkthrough. Offense, defense, special teams. We watched a lot of film on the side. Game plan, the guys bringing CDs home and just getting the game in your head. And then come into Thursday, you watch the game. I mean, you couldn't say that, hey, just because we didn't have the contact, we wasn't ready. And we played all the way to overtime. I mean, it was our game. So experiencing it, it was quick. It happened fast. I mean, it wasn't easy, just coming off Sunday game. But as part of the game, we got to keep moving and just be prepared.
And Jarvis, just so people know, you know, you said it. A lot of guys do this, not just during a short week. Sunday game, workout on Monday. You really feel it on Tuesday on your off day when you do that, right? I mean, working out after the game is not that bad, but on Tuesday, that's when you start to feel.
I mean, yeah, because you wake up on Monday, you're aching. The workout helps, because I know if you don't work out, times that I didn't work out on Monday, the day after, I felt worse, even worse on Tuesday. But just getting the blood flow, getting warmed up, getting the sweat, it does help. But, I mean, you're still going to feel that. You're going to be sore. You're going to be tired. But that's that day off really helps to go into Wednesday.
A lot of people have said, heck, we've said at times, that a Bill Belichick defense is so hard for a rookie to come in and grasp right off the bat. It's pretty intricate. There's a lot of things expected. How unusual is it for a guy like Jerod Mayo to come into this defense and look like he's been playing with you guys for several years?
That guy's fast, man. I mean, he's fast. I mean, it helps a lot, you know, because if you're going to – I know Coach, if you're going to make a mistake, do it fast, you know. But, I mean, Jerod, he coming from a great system in Tennessee, coming here, and just the transition for him. I mean, the way he played last night, I remember some plays – we had like a little trap. They had did like a little trap or something, and I turned to the left, and he just, I saw a bullet just fly right by me. And he's making plays, man. I mean, that's what we need. You know, he's a young guy coming in. He's going to be okay.
Hey, we got to talk for a minute about the second annual Jarvis Green Wine Tasting Charity Event. Are you a real wine expert?
Oh, yes, man. Yes. I've been learning a lot. Chris Caspero, Wine Spirits, has been teaching me a lot of different things about the wine, but I'm into it.
What year is the best? You get all that stuff.
I get
you're like a sommelier. Be like, you know, this has an oaky feel to it.
I remember doing some of the tests, man. They got this test that you get like 50 caps.
Yeah.
And each cap has like it has like a mole taste, and it has a blueberry taste, chestnut taste, almond taste. You go through the entire thing, you know, smelling it, and it's funny, man. I mean, it's a lot of stuff into wine.
This thing will, this event will take place tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Johnson and Wales Inn, which is on Taunton Avenue in Seekonk. Tickets are available for $100 a piece. If you're interested, there's a couple of places you can go. You can go to jarvisgreen.com. There's information there, or you can call this number, and I'll repeat it a couple of times, and we'll put it on our website, 636-294-5353. That's 636-294-5353. Tell us about the Jarvis Green Foundation. What do you do with the funds that you're raising?
Well, my foundation, we help Katrina victims, but we also help our single mothers, Katrina victims, but single mothers of natural disasters. We've been helping single mothers in the Boston area and the Providence area. And since the foundation been open, we had about 7 to 8 events. This year alone, we had 6. They're going to be the 6th event this year that I have for the foundation. We're just raising money, man, because I know last year our first recipient was Michelle Jefferson from New Orleans. We got in our first home. Got her back on her feet. You know, she went through the storm. She lost a lot of things, lost a lot of family. And we do that, man, for the cause, you know. And I mean, I didn't grow up in a single home, but I know for single mothers out there, the way society as a government, I think they're the ones that need the help the most.
It's very cool.
That's great.
Oh,
yeah,
thank
that's tremendous. And then, you know, with Katrina victims, I think there was a lot of attention when Katrina first happened in August of, was it 05?
It's been about 3 years.
Yeah, August 05.
Yes.
And then a lot of people kind of lost focus on the Gulf Coast, but there's still a lot of work to be done down there,
I mean,
there,
I
right?
go down there all the time, and I remember just every time I go around right around the same areas. I mean, downtown is growing, it's getting better, but you go to the same areas like where the levee broke, and it's still a mess. I mean, you have houses still in the middle of the highway. People, I mean, I remember they got their water 2 years later. They had running water 2 years later. They got power came on a year after the hurricane. You know, so stuff like that is still going on, and it's very sad. But, you know, if I could help, you know, you don't hear about the little stories, but if I could do that and help with my foundation, that's what's important to me.
We will link this information on our website as well. The event takes place tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Johnson & Wales Inn, Taunton Avenue, Seekonk. We'll give you the information and how to get to jarvisgreen.com. thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, have a great.
We'll throw defense out of here. And
I was
going
to say, I just wanted to say, you know, Jarvis obviously didn't bring us any wine because he doesn't want us to drink on the job.
That was the only reason.
That's very responsible.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you, Jarvis.
Bring some.
All right, Jarvis. Good to see you. Thanks. He can go back to his Sports Illustrated College Basketball preview issue now.
Who's going to be number one
studying.
This year?
I don't know.
LSU?
I need something to read.
Thanks, Jarvis. Logan Mankin steps into the studio, one of our Patriots Friday regulars. I'll start almost the same way I started with Jarvis. How do you feel this morning?
Not that good. Not too bad physically. More mental for me today. Disappointed with the outcome of the game last night.
Logan, we were saying as much offense as we saw out there last night, 400 yards for Castle in the air and then another 60 on the ground, that we felt like there were some plays left out there on offense. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I'm sure once we watch the film, we'll be disappointed with a lot of stuff. I felt after the third quarter that I felt like we should have been blowing them out after we came out with those two drives. We're just doing everything we want to do, and both those drives came up short with mistakes. And if you're going to beat good teams in this league, you can't make mistakes like that. You got to take advantage of your opportunities, and we didn't do that.
There were a couple of plays that jumped out at us. We told Jarvis the 3rd and 15 conversion was a big play that jumped out at me. The snap, the Copen snap that got past Matt Castle. What happened on that play?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go into other players on the team's mistakes. You'll have to talk to them. But yeah, it's plays like that that are going to cost you games. And
23-yard losses will do that, won't it?
24.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah, that changed. I don't know what the down and distance was when that happened, but it wasn't 34 yards to get a first down. So that really hurt, and just mistakes like that in games are going to hurt you. When the defense isn't doing anything to stop you, you're just stopping yourself. You're not going to win any games.
It seems like we ask you this week to week, and the question gets a little more positive as far as Matt Castle is concerned. At first it was like, you know, can he just manage the game? Can he do okay? Now last night... he throws for 400 yards. Is it like you're watching? I know you're one of his closest friends on the team. Is it like you're watching a different guy now?
From week one, yeah. But right now, tell me who else you'd rather have back there. The guy, we put the game in his hands last night, and he delivered. He threw for 400 yards, tied the game with 1 second left, made a great throw. Moss made a great catch. He made a ton of great throws last night, and when no one was open, he took off, got the yards with his legs. So I don't know if he could have done a better job. Maybe he could have made one or two more completions. But, hey, he did a great job. He gave us a chance to win the game, and I don't think the rest of the team came through for him.
You know, Logan, his sideline demeanor doesn't seem to be that much different from week one to now. It doesn't look like, just from where I see it, he doesn't seem to say too much. Has his demeanor changed in the huddle? Can you pick up on any added confidence, increased confidence on his part?
Yeah, on the field, I think he's more confident. He knows what's going on better now. He knows what to expect, I think, more. And that just comes with experience. And you see from the experience he's gained so far how much better he's playing. He's making a ton of good throws, good reads, feels good in the pocket. He knows when the play's not there, just take off and get what you can get. So he's playing really well, and we're happy with how great he's playing right now. Man, he had a great game last night.
He's had 9 official starts, Dale. You know what that means? He's eligible for the Heisman. He should win the Heisman, I'm telling you.
It's an interesting business you're in. I was thinking about this with Ben. Ben has a career night. He has 8 catches and 88 yards, and he's got a touchdown. And all anybody will want to talk about is the fumble.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there and you guys put up 511 yards of offense, and there will be one play. It'll be the Jenkins play where he gets by you that'll get shown on SportsCenter all morning long.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I go out and I block the guy all night, but the one play that I can remember right now is when he got a sack. So that's just how the business goes. You don't remember your good plays. You always remember your bad ones, and that's just how it is. You want to play perfect, but you can't, but you wish you could, and that's what you strive for. So I think that's what makes players good. They remember the bad plays that they make, and that's the one that keeps them going to get better and better.
How's he compare with the guys that you go up against week in and week out?
Yeah, he's like the guys on our team, like Richard and Vince, big and powerful, and if you make a little mistake, they're going to make you pay because they're so strong that they'll just knock you out of the way. So you got to do your technique right. And on that play, I just overset him a little bit, and he threw that big tree trunk of an arm and knocked me out of the way. So
Now, you said you overset him?
Yeah, a little bit. A guy like that, you want to stay inside of him because he's not going to beat you with the speed around the edge. So you got to stay inside, and he wants to hit you and knock you outside and then run underneath you.
And it's pretty much the same. It's not like he has a bag full of tricks there. That's pretty much what he does. You know what he's going to do.
Yeah, he's either, well, he's 360 pounds, so he's not going to try to spin and go crazy and jump around you. So he's either running you over, knocking your hands down, and then trying to run you over, or hitting you outside and coming underneath you. And that's the play before, he tried to run me over, and I got him slowed down, but it wasn't perfect. But on the next one, then he came with the club.
Who would you rather play against, a guy who's just going to try to run you over all night long, or a guy who's going to try to beat you with his speed?
Well, it depends.
Like
I think I'd rather go against Jenkins than Seymour. Seymour, he'll run you over, then the next play, he'll run right around you. So guys like Seymour, they're really tough. But Jenkins, he's a good player. I'll give him his credit. He got me on that one. So after we scored the Titan touchdown, we had a long break there, and I was like, man, you finally got me. He's like, I know. He's like, I didn't know if I was going to get you, but I finally got you on one. So, hey, give him.
What did you think of, Logan, the final drive? You don't have any timeouts left. You're down by 7, and it comes down to a fourth down play. Really, it's going to be the final play of the game, and it's a touchdown to Randy Moss from Castle on a perfect throw. I mean, what did you think of that whole sequence, that final 64 seconds?
Yeah, before we went out, Dante was telling us, he's like, hey, at the end of the second quarter, we scored with barely over a minute. It took us a minute something. So he's like, we got plenty of time. Just give Matt time. They're not going to let him throw it deep. He's going to have to dink and dunk. So Matt, he just kept hitting the underneath receivers. They would get down. We'd spike the ball if we needed to. And we were trying to conserve as much time. And then when we had 8 seconds left, we knew Matt was going to have to buy some time and throw it in the end zone. And he did a good job. Moss did a good job. He got position, gave Matt a spot to throw the ball to, and Matt put the ball right where he needed. Moss made a great catch.
I want to ask you a question. I need you to be honest with me here, Logan. Do you listen to sports talk radio or watch any of the debate shows on TV?
Yeah, every now and then.
What did you think when – it's funny. I'm asking you this because, obviously, Castle's a great game. What did you think when you heard, we got to bring in – Dante Culpepper. We got to bring in Pittsburgh got Byron Leftwich before we did. We got to make a trade for somebody. Who's out there? We really need a backup quarterback.
Yeah, when all that was going on, I was thinking, what have these guys really done in the league to make you want to go get them over Matt? Sure, Culpepper had a few good years up in Minnesota, and those other guys, they hadn't won that many games. They'd been on teams and got their opportunities, and I didn't see them winning Super Bowls or MVP, so why not give Matt the shot to go out? We know what he could do. Well, we didn't know what he could do in a game, I guess, but we saw him at practice 100 times. He's been working hard. He's been in the system for 4 years already. They were going to come in and have to learn on the fly, so why not give him a shot? And it's proven to be the right decision.
Doesn't it prove, though, that there's nothing like game experience? I mean, you really don't know if a guy can play. I mean, he can be in the system for 5 years and understand it intellectually. You really don't know if a guy can play until he actually goes out there and plays.
Yeah, that's
in a real game.
That's the only way to know is by being thrown in the fire. Sink or swim. You're either going to swim out of it or you're going to sink and drown. So I think he's doing a great job right now. The coaches believe in him. The players believe in him. And he's only getting better every week. And he sure gave us a chance to win last night, and he did everything he could, and we just didn't pull it through for him.
When you were playing college football, I don't even know who your big rivalry was when you were in college football, but
Boise State.
All right, so Boise State week, it's Boise State week, and you all knew what it was about, and practices were probably more intense, and you tried to be even more tuned in. Is it like that ever at the pro level? Is Jets week different than Bills week or somebody else? Is there somebody like that?
Yeah, well, our big rival is the Jets. Every year, they're always tight games. And you could just read in the paper all week, they were saying that they don't like us. And
you know your coach doesn't like their coach very much.
Yeah, well, we don't have a Yeah, I guess you could say that. But, yeah, we don't like each other that much. Anytime you play a team twice a year, there's going to be some bad blood because stuff always happens between you. So they're our biggest division rival, and last night was a huge game. It was for first place. So it was a tight week around here, and we really wanted to win that game. And you could see that the way they were celebrating after the game, they really wanted to win that game.
Is it different than Buffalo and Miami week, though?
I think it depends on what the records are. Every week is a big game for us right now. So every game is really tight. You really want to go in and win that game. But like this week, again, it's going to be huge. It's a huge game for us. If we need to win this game to stay in second place. If we lose it, we're going to drop down to third or last place. So I don't know what happens if we lose, but we really need to win this game. It's a huge game.
Yeah, I think the Jets got the Lombardi Trophy after last night's game.
Yeah,
they were acting like it, weren't they?
Yeah, especially who do the Dolphins have Sunday? The Raiders or something? So they're going to win that game. So they're going to be
winning. You think so?
Yeah. What are they going to be, 6-4? So we'll have the same record. It's going to be a tough game.
You know, forget the any given Sunday, any team.
Well, anything can happen, but if you said I had to bet all my money on who's going to win, just with all the turmoil going on in Oakland, I don't know. It's got to be a tough place to play right now.
And you said Boise State's your big rival. What was it like playing on that blue field? That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, when you would walk out there, it was weird. But once the game started, you didn't really notice it. But they would tell us all kinds of stories about
geese landing on it and stuff. And
like nose diving right into the field. And they would die from it because they're flying. They think it's water.
I wonder why they – I mean, nobody else has a blue field, right? They're the only ones?
Yeah, I think everyone has a green one with them.
Yeah, it makes it cool.
The grass grows different, boys.
The Ohio State should have a big red field
No, they should not. They should keep it the way they have. And keep those athletes away from the classroom. We are trying to win football games. We're not trying to get an education here.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I have a feeling you'll get a couple days off here for the next couple days to kind of heal up and regroup. Enjoy your time away from – the meeting rooms and the field.
Nice.
We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
All right, Logan.
Logan Mankins joining us on a Patriots Friday Sports Radio, WEEI.